First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
All right, ladies and gentlemen, all right, welcome once again to the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can go for to catch podcasts of these episodes or come right here to BTR. But while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, remember to join our RSS feed and our email newsletter, and these show podcasts will actually be sent right to you, so you won't even have to inconvenience yourself. I tell you, there's always so much going on, but as usual, we need to start. Phone numbers, as always, for this show is 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you folks that are in the listening queue, as you always are, we appreciate you. Just make sure you hit that number one on your dial pad, and we will get you on air as soon as possible. In the meantime, welcome to the start of a brand new week. How are you, Mr. Martin?
Already wore out, Mr. Springston. It's been like the weekends sometimes take a bigger toll on me than the work week.
You know, it really does seem that way, especially the holiday weekend. And, you know, I tell you, I actually, to be honest with you, I actually had a peaceful weekend. I got to spend a lot of quality time with myself. You know, sometimes you need that to recharge, man. And I tell you, so I got a lot accomplished this weekend. I'm going to let you know this right now. Here last week, I think I gave a little teaser about some things that are coming up. But you were all over me for not going into detail about it. Well, I'm not going to go into detail now, but I will tell you folks this. There's going to be a major announcement coming starting Derby Week. Derby Week, we hope to be able to make our announcement at the beginning of Derby Week. There will be national attention on Louisville. With the Derby and everything else, all the big players in the game will be here that week. So make sure you stay tuned and join us Derby Week. And I'm going to hopefully be able to make that announcement on Monday night, April the 28th, which is a week from today. If not, then we'll get to it Tuesday or Wednesday. But it's going to be some major news. It's going to blow the lid off of a few things, Ed. And I tell you what, it's going to set a lot of people in this town with fear, which is what I love to do.
Great. Well, good thing I stay busy in business because so what you're saying is it's going to be like a polar vortex, politically speaking, and I'm going to be associated with it, huh?
You will love where I'm going. Yeah, I mean you're part of this network, so that's part of it in the long picture. But you're gonna love what we're doing, and I tell you, I think it's gonna blow you away. You along with quite a few other businesses in Louisville. So let's just leave it at that for now. You know, speaking of business and Louisville, we have so much stupidity in this town. I can't believe this. It drives me nuts. You know, we just got a story out today. Apparently, you know, we had this big, crazy thing going on in 2012 with the Drummond Artist State. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. The Drummond Artist, as I actually publicly referred to it as, was the, you know, the historic register of a god-awful, ugly house. This is one that actually our buddy Kurt Morrison was all over for a long time. It's just like, you know, it'd be one thing if the Drummond, I'm just going to opine here for a second. It'd be one thing if it was this beautifully landscaped, truly historic house. But that is my personal opinion, that house is a waste of square footage, a waste of timber and creek stone and everything else. That is just one ugly house.
Well, it's not just that. It's also one ugly, expensive house.
$250 million house.
Right. And in 2012, for those of you who aren't familiar with the Drummond Artist Estate, that is the estate that the preservationists were able to convince a couple of people should be on the preservation list because Chuck Olmsted at one time had planted a flower there or something. It was really that stupid. It's not a preservation piece of property. It should have never been on the list. But
it wasn't Chuck Olmsted, the late great reporter. It was William Frederick Olmsted, the designer.
I apologize. Did I say Chuck?
I miss that guy. He was great.
Did I say Chuck Olmsted?
You said Chuck Olmsted.
I love Chuck. I guess because I was a big fan of Chuck Olmsted. I apologize to our audience because I was a big fan of Chuck Olmsted, the reporter. I thought he did a fantastic job. But anyway, so the Drummond Artist Estate in 2012, Kentucky was forced to buy this estate, you know, because we have to. According to the way the law is set up and everything else, since it was a preservationist property, blah, 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 blah. It's listed on the National Register of Historic Places. It got protected status. So the federal government had to buy this property.
A historically ugly house, I might add. So there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But Kentucky had to buy this property because it was federally protected. So in order to build the bridge that we keep talking about, the Kentucky Bridge, we had to build a tunnel underneath this property. And that's what makes this thing so interesting. Is because we purchased this property for $8.3 million. It was $1.5 million, then the appraised value. It was $5 million more than the actual owners had paid in 2000. So in 12 years, this thing appreciated 300% when everybody else was losing money, right? But when they bought the property, rather than let it sit empty, the Kentucky Transportation and Cabinet decided they were going to let the former owners rent it every month for $2,700. The Soterian Corporation were the tenants of the Drummond Artist Estate, and they just basically weren't making rent payments. So they basically got in arrears more than one time. So the state ordered Soterian to vacate the property. But what's really fascinating here is now we're going to have this vacant property there that's going to get in more disrepair and disarray than it is now. It's going to be a falling down wreck. But it's going to cost us, you know, a couple hundred million dollars in new construction spending to build a tunnel underneath this piece of garbage. This is what we tried to tell everybody, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, there were so many other ways of doing it. They could have just put up sound barriers. And the reason they're doing it, they're barely clipping the backside of the property. But they could have put up sound barriers. They could have done a trench and cap style, where they could have trenched it, concreted it up, and literally put concrete over the, plates over the top and
right.
covered it over in some dirt. Many ways they could have done it, but, the Mimi Sweets Runyons and John Yarmouths and all that of the world, we had to dig a $250 million tunnel leading up to the bridge.
Well, that's it, and that's just part of the cost, because the tunnel was expected to cost $261 million. Now, that was back in 2011 and 12 area. The total approach was $547 million, so you can see where it doubled the cost of building this thing. Now the approach is estimated at $338 million, but they didn't break out the tunnel cost. So whether that includes the tunnel or not, I don't know. But it's very interesting that we're having to spend millions and millions of dollars for nothing. We told everybody this was a situation. We even had prominent people trying to get this thing taken off of the historic register, and they refused to do it. So, this is what we've got to deal with. So that's a couple hundred million dollars more that Kentucky is on the hook for this bridge project. We were right. I hate to keep telling everybody that, but we were right. And I love that, because I get so sick of this. On top of that, Ed, we've got another story out today, and this one is from the Courier-Journal.
Well, I just want to throw it out there real quick. It means Tyler Allen was right, too.
Oh, amen, amen. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah.
Tyler Allen was dead on with all of it. There's no doubt about that. And, our good friend Andrew Wilson over at the Courier-Journal, put out a story today about the University of Louisville. A few weeks ago, we had covered a story about some people were being given buyout packages that were double their salary in order to leave, while others weren't getting as much. These are tenured professors and everything else, and it was clearly obvious that it was basically hush money. Well, we've got another example of that today. Andrew Wilson is reporting that there's a $346,844 going to one of the University of Louisville's highest-ranking official, which happens to be their top lawyer. University Counsel Angela Kushiwa is taking a three-month leave of absence before she officially retires June the 1st. And she's being paid a $346,000 buyout. Now, here's the thing. Councilwoman Kushiwa had the goods for a whistleblower lawsuit. She had been questioning some expenditures and proposals that President James Ramsey and Dr. David Dunn had been spending. David Dunn, of course, is the Vice President for Health Affairs. And they're going to give her twice her annual salary. What's interesting about this agreement was it was signed by Kushiwa and Shirley Willingham's in February, but she's getting paid $50,000 on March the 15th and the rest of it on June the 15th. And this was because she was ready to sue the university. So they bought her out. Now, she had to sign a non-disclosure agreement and all this other stuff, so we'll never know exactly what it was. She can't ever sue the university, so she can't be a whistleblower. Explain this to me. How does this university continue getting away with this?
Well, if she's a whistleblower, you got to think she was involved at some point in time. The really disconcerting thing about it is that you've got people that know, you got people that did things that were wrong, probably. You've got people that know that things were done improperly with taxpayer money, with student money, with money that students going into debt unreasonably for. It's other people's money, yet basically you're saying, You kind of indirectly let the world know, hey, I got the goods. I know how you are being screwed as the taxpayer or the student, but deal with it, It's like I have morals, but they can be bought, So you're out of luck probably to the, who knows how big it, whatever it is. It could be to the tune of millions of dollars over years, that hard hard luck students are unable to buy a house with because they have debt and tax credit. You know, there's just, it's other people's money, hardworking people's money. And it's basically they're saying, you know, whatever, 100 grand, 200 grand, 300 grand, that's my price. I will sit idly by while the public gets screwed for a price.
Well, I tell you, and it is clearly to keep her from being a whistleblower, and I tell you why. Because, you know, Mark Hebert, he sold out to the University of Louisville to be their spokesman for a buku bucks, but he went on record and told everybody, you know, that the university won't comment because it's a personnel matter, number one, and two, because both sides have a non-disparagement agreement. But what's interesting here is Koshiwa is an at-will employee. She had no contract whatsoever with the university. She could have been terminated for any reason or no reason if the University of Louisville said so. I mean, she could have showed up to work tomorrow and said, hey, you know what? We just don't like you. We don't like the way your hair looks today. You're out of a job. They had no obligations whatsoever to her. And yet, here we are. They agreed to do this payout. And this, of course, for me, is simply just another example of money being wasted. And, you know, we try to say that University of Louisville is private, but they do get our tax money to help fund them. And it's alarming to me. And I tell you, so this is just another example. And I think we're going to start looking into this a lot deeper because this is going to get ugly. There's millions of dollars that these guys are spending, and I want to know why.
The thing I always sit back and worry is, you know, it's like, okay, well, they obviously bought silence on this one. They bought silence on others. Is there anyone at U of L on the staff anywhere, be it a professor or a secretary, a lawyer, or is something? Is there anybody anywhere at U of L who can't be bought? You know, that at some point has enough of a conscience that looks at it and says, this is wrong. I'm going to have to say something. Or, you know, let's be honest, or if you could be bought, you know, hold out for more.
Oh, I hear you.
Okay, well, it's going to cost you at least seven figures, you know. It amazes me that, I think we'll never know right now what kind of numbers we're talking about, but it could be millions, it could be tens of millions of dollars, and, you know, you can be bought out for a few hundred grand. I mean, it's not a bad return on the investment for the people who want to keep you quiet.
And this is an attorney, for goodness sake. So, you know, just another example of attorneys in this town, too. I mean, remember David Tandy signed, you know, a non-disclosure agreement when he went to visit Cordish to talk about our tax money. So, you know, this is just alarming to me that this continues going on. And speaking of other stupid news that should alarm people, our good friends over at the Courier-Journal did it again. They did it again. They gave an endorsement in the county attorney's race in yesterday's paper. And I tell you, it is hilarious. They actually recommended and gave their endorsement to current county attorney Mike O'Connell. But when you read the endorsement letter, I don't know how they can do this. I mean, in their own endorsement letter, they point out the obvious. In the past 6 years, in the job as county attorney, Mike O'Connell has picked needless fights with district judges. He has alienated defense attorneys. He has perpetuated patronage politics of the past by collecting nearly half his campaign chest, which is more than $200,000, by the way, from the county employees who depend on him for jobs. His temperament is at best uneven. He even acknowledges that he rubs people the wrong way. He was reprimanded from the Kentucky Bar Association just last year. But he is far more qualified with all of these things. And I didn't ad-lib anything, folks. That's straight from their story. And he is far more qualified than his opponent, Karen Faulkner. This is her first political race. She's been out of law school for 9 years. But they say she lacks the necessary experience and background to run this office at this time. Now, I tell you what, I would rather take a Karen Faulkner, and I will give my personal endorsement to Karen Faulkner right now on air. And I really don't know that much about this woman other than the obvious, that she's in her 30s, she's fresh out of law school 9-10 years ago, that kind of stuff. I have not done a personal background check on her, but I will promise you, that she will be 10 times greater than this idiot clown, Mike O'Connell, that is sitting in the county attorney's office right now. You know, this guy, I mean, think about this. And I'm not going to try to toot my own horn or any of this stuff right now, but let's think about this. In July of 2012, I was arrested by a couple of stupid cops. They ended up having to pay me and everything else to settle with me because they screwed up. They were reprimanded and all kinds of stuff. Here in Louisville, I am pretty much a known name. I am pretty much a local, for lack of a better word, somewhat celebrity. People know who I am. They know what I do. They know I don't back off, and they know I'm going to go down the right path. This clown, Mike O'Connell, kept this losing case alive for a year as punishment. It disrupted a hell of a lot in my life for that time. And actually, a year and a half by the time they finally gave me the expungement letter, it took them longer to give me than what it was supposed to, but we're not going to even get into that. But here's the thing for me. If this nut job is doing this crap to somebody like me that he knows is going to fight back because I'm right, how many hundreds and thousands of people in this town, poor people, you know, let's look at the African-American population. We say that they get arrested more than the white guys do. They get more incarceration, things like that. Let's look at that. How many of those guys are treated fairly? If he can do this to me, somebody who is known, what is he doing to everybody that isn't known? There is a corrupt system of government here in this county attorney's office with Mike O'Connell. And I can't believe CJ put all that out there and endorsed him. Your thoughts, Ed?
Well, I think of course, it's a career journal, so they're going to support the status quo as long as they have the P next to it. You know, I do not get the career, so I did not read the endorsement. You know, so it's a waste of money. Even the coupons aren't any good anymore. But, when you read that off, and then they give the endorsement, I'm basically hearing them say, yeah, we're like a corrupt little town in a bad 70s Burt Reynolds movie. We're corrupt. We're incompetent. We rub people the wrong way. We're, you know, got us a regular Boss Hog and Enos show going on here. But that's the best we can do is basically what they're saying. It's like, I'm with you. It's like I would take a novice over corruption. I mean, it's like, look, we've got a known quantity, and it sucks. But because it's known, you know, the only separating factor is we know he sucks. You know, there's a chance that the other person might actually be worse, but, you know, so we're just going to go with the known level of corruption, incompetence, unprofessionalism, and cronyism. We're going with a known quantity of that, you know. That's what they're comfortable with. And that's just a slap in the face of the community. I mean, at some point, they should just, you know, you're waiting for the words when you're reading that. Community can do better. You know, you're just waiting for that little, that saving quote right there, and it never comes. It's like, no, it's bad. It's bad. It's worse. It's even worse. And it's the best you can do.
Well, I tell you, it's very, very alarming. And, you know, it isn't just that they endorse Mike O'Connell, but if you need further proof that the Courier-Journal is bought and sold by the Democratic Mafia here in Louisville, Kentucky, look no further than this endorsement. I mean, when they sit there and flat out tell you that he plays political patronage, that he can't do his job, you know, and that's exactly what they're saying with their own statement, that he can't do his job. He forces his employees to give him money for his campaign or they're going to be fired. He has been, you know, reprimanded by the Kentucky Bar Association. And believe me, that's not easy to get done. Katie King wasn't even reprimanded. And she, in a lot of ways, is worse than this guy. So when you look at all of these things in play, and a Courier still gives him an endorsement against a clean-cut, you know, female that could take this office in a different direction. I want a county attorney I could trust to be fair and imbalanced, for lack of a better word. When you're a county attorney, you're supposed to look at the law and be equal. And this guy clearly is not, and the Courier-Journal admits it, but it's okay because he's great friends with Jim King.
I think that's insulting. I think that's insulting.
You know, the only hope I have in the career, you know, I say without subscribing to it, is that maybe, just maybe, that endorsement, you know, you kind of wonder if it came down. Well, you know, it came down from high somewhere up
sure.
in the editorial staff, way up
sure.
in there. Somebody just said, you know, you're endorsing O'Connell, and deal with it. You know, it's like I don't care what the facts are. I don't care about, you know, if somebody up higher up said you're endorsing O'Connell, and I'd like to think that maybe somebody who didn't like that, judging by the sound of it, maybe we got ourselves a little rebel somewhere in there that says, all right, you're going to be that way. All right, I give you an endorsement, all right. And they just went for it. It's like, yeah, let me tell you all this stuff. And they're going to say, yeah, okay, we endorse him. You kind of wonder if heads were exploding at the Courier after it made print.
Oh, I know, man.
Somebody walks up to him and says, what the hell kind of endorsement? What the hell is this? He says, hey, it's an endorsement. You told me to endorse him. You didn't tell me how.
Well, yeah, and what really makes it even worse, I mean, you know, you talked about earlier how they're going to endorse the Democrat. In this particular case, they're both Democrats. You know, they're running as Democrats in a primary election with no Republican opposition. So this primary race is the election. So whoever wins the primary, Michael Connell or Karen Faulkner, they are your county attorney for the next, you know, 4 years. So, you know, it's important to go vote anyway, in my opinion. And I tell everybody that every day. But if you're only going to vote for one office in this election, just one, I will tell you right now, I will back Karen Faulkner. She now has my official endorsement for what that's worth. And believe me, it's worth plenty. And I hope it's enough to carry her past Michael Connell. And for you guys that don't normally vote, go vote and cast that one vote. Because a county attorney's office and a Commonwealth attorney's office is how a lot of this crap gets pushed through and not looked at from this metro council that does everything else. They don't do anything without going to Michael Connell and working it all out beforehand, the county attorney's office. We need somebody that's above that corruption, that can go in there and do the job the way it's supposed to be done, and that includes holding the Metro Council accountable.
They don't have to be above the corruption, per se. It's just like, let's just bring somebody in who's new, who isn't so familiar with the corruption. You know, maybe Faulkner might not be, you know, pure as a fresh snow, but you know what? She definitely doesn't know the ropes of corruption the way Michael Connell does. She's not the system. So even if she wanted to be corrupt, it'll take her a few years to get to the level O'Connell's at. But I don't think she is. I mean, that's why she's running against him. But, yeah, it's just like, again, your Courier's saying, yeah, he's corrupt. He's impersonal. He's unprofessional. He borders on incompetence, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
But, well, you know, like I said, that's the best this community can do, get over it.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, that's a serious concern for me because I am sick of this corrupt system. And really, if we're going to fix the system, then we have to start with some of these legal offices, you know, your judges, your county attorney, your Commonwealth attorney. And I'll be honest with you, I've heard a lot of great things about Tom Wine as a Commonwealth attorney, but I was also one who was pushing to remove Dave Stingle because of the same damn thing that Michael Connell does today. So, you know, but we'll get into more of that. We've got some other stuff going on. I tell you, we're going to take a break real quick, the bottom of the hour break. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit about Allison Lundgren Grimes and a whole host of other things. Yep, she's back in the news. And I tell you what, just another goofy, just stupidity I've ever seen in an election. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Spracer Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop, over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com, 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
To the Ed Springsteen Show right here on the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go to catch all the podcasts and any other news we're putting out there. Don't forget to join the RSS feed or email newsletter, and we can make sure everything we do gets sent direct to your inbox. Yep, that's right. We are a 21st century happy kind of place. Call-in numbers, as always, 858-683-1326 or area code 502-805-0334. And, of course, if you're in the listening queue, hit that number one on the dial pad. I tell you, Ed, it really is just, you know, you just can't make stuff up anymore. I mean, Kentucky is so laughable, it's embarrassing. It really is. Last week, we covered a story concerning former Representative John Arnold. You know, he had been accused of sexual harassment, went before the Ethics Commission. The Ethics Commission has a 9-member panel. 3 members chose not to show up that night. There was 1 vacancy, so it left exactly 5 members to vote on his guilt or innocence. Elmer George, his son, is a prominent worker with Allison Lundigan Grimes' staff, was inserted as a member of that panel back in January. He was the lone dissenting vote, and by the Ethics Commission's own rules, you have to have 5 votes to remove somebody or convict them of being guilty, I should say. And the vote was 4-1 because Elmer George had maxed out his political contributions to Allison Lundigan Grimes. His son is a prominent player with her campaign. Allison Lundigan Grimes even accepted campaign contribution from John Arnold before this case even started. She had accepted a campaign contribution from a known accused sexual harasser, and this wasn't just a lone incident. There was 3 different women involved here, so it had some credibility. And yet she's out on the campaign trail screaming about how she's standing up for women and women's issues. Well, the reason this is back in the news this week for me is funny. You know, according to Anthony Wilhoit, he's a guy who's running the ethics panel and everything else, since the commission took no final action on the case against Representative John Arnold, what that essentially means, folks, is there was no vote to dismiss the allegations. There wasn't even a motion to dismiss the allegations. So the Ethics Commission can revisit this anytime they want. And from what I understand and what's being reported, they think that it may come back up on May the 7th. They're going to decide whether to proceed with the case against him again or not. But what's really interesting here is Allison Lundigan Grimes, you know, Allison Wonderland Grimes to most of us, you know, finally decided after a year. Last year she was asked if she would recommend that John Arnold be you know, convicted and lose his job. She wouldn't answer the question. She took his campaign money. She was playing the political game. Now that everybody knows the truth, now, since last week when this was reported about the ethics panel and everything else, well, now all of a sudden she decided that she had to, you know, look at this case a little bit better. So now she is asking the Kentucky Legislative Ethics Commission to reconsider their acquittal of former state rep John Arnold. You know, she decides to put this statement out. It comes out in the Saturday Courier Journal. And, you know, then she wants to go on and say, you know, as Secretary of State, I have zero tolerance for workplace and sexual harassment, and I call on leaders from both parties to enact the same throughout the Capitol. What a joke. For one thing, Mitch McConnell went public immediately when this decision was rendered and said, hey, look, this is wrong. Reopen it. You can't allow this. And Mitch McConnell actually has the right to do that since he, you know, has been involved in these kind of things in Washington. So after he comes out and he gets all this great notoriety and this positive news, and Allison Leonard Grimes gets trashed, this so-called leader of women's virtues, if you will, you know, has to change her tune. Can we get any funnier than that, Ed? Is there anything we can make up?
No. I mean, we were having some fun with it, as has pretty much everybody, which you know, ironically, I guess I'm going to give her high marks for standing her ground of actually not taking any position. It's, you know, it did cost her a lot, you know, but I, you know, to me, I look at it and it's like, look, all the facts were pretty, you know, enough of them were out there to make a statement, you know, one of those politician statements. You know, if he's found guilty of this, well, he should you know, this, that, and the other should happen to him. He should be punished to the fullest extent of the law. Something. I mean, she could have made a conditional statement if he's convicted, but she made no statements. You know, and then of course, then after these little political shenanigans where, you know, just enough votes were not quite cast. Yeah, kind of like the Shanklin Seven. Then after that, and after the you know, the return session and everything, and Frankfurt's not in session anymore, when it's good and safe, she comes out with a statement. You know, and I'm sure it's timed immediately after the legislature has gone home. You know, for in theory for a year, but they'll be back for a special session. It's just, you know, a not-so-special session, as we call it in Kentucky. But
right.
She makes it when it's safe. So, and you know, she makes it immediately after they convene, after they close and go home, because now that gives the maximum amount of time for people to kind of forget this. You know, if she had made this statement before they reconvene, before the commission or something could get back together in Frankfurt, before the legislature get called back for a special session, if she made it right ahead of that, then it would actually be taken seriously. But she made her statement. That's probably, you know, if I'm a betting man, I'm saying that's probably the last we're going to hear of it. And if the worst thing that could hit, you know, if everybody reconvenes and gets in for a special session, I would almost bet she won't say a thing about it, because then it's very real. You know, then it's like, hey, she could sit up and say, while you're all there, why don't you deal with this slime ball?
Oh, she might say something now, because I promise you, she has been, you know, listening to the show every day and, you know, things like that. Because we chastised her last week for not making any statements, even last year. You know, and what's really interesting here too, Ed, and again, if you want to talk about the media being bought and paid for, if this was you or I or Mitch McConnell, let's talk about Mitch. If Mitch McConnell had taken money from someone who had been accused of sexual harassment, I mean, this guy was found guilty. It was a 4-1 vote. It just wasn't enough to beat the procedural, beat the procedures they had in place. But the media would have been all over him. Are you going to return that campaign contribution? Why would you accept this campaign contribution from this guy in the first place? All of these things, I mean, he would be chastised and rolled under the bus as hard as you could roll him. But they never asked Allison Lundgren Grimes why she took money from this guy, which she did months ago. And they never asked her if she was planning on returning the money and hold her directly accountable to this situation after she'd been dodging it for a year. What else do we need to prove that?
Well, you know, the schadenfreude comes in unusual forms sometimes. So, as I've said before, sometimes when people just, you know, you wonder what their campaign staff is up to, but the commercials almost write themselves for McConnell, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Somewhere in McConnell's multi-million-dollar war chest of a campaign, you know, his campaign with his top dog, Somebody is somebody's already got that one drawn up. It's already been shot.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. Let's go to the phones. Mayo, what's going on?
Oh, not much. Speaking of campaigns, I was just curious because local radio AM was saying something about Bevin and some of the other contenders that said they're going to, they've committed to being there, but McConnell isn't. So is there like a debate or something coming up that McConnell's back down from, or?
Well, Bevin is trying to force Mitch McConnell into some debate, and I got news for you. If I was Mitch McConnell, I'd laugh at him. He wouldn't go either. You know, as far as the debate is concerned, you know, Mitch McConnell is leading all polls by 40 points. Now, whether they hold up or not as we get closer to the election, we all know how polls are manipulated and things like that. But, you know, I mean, as a matter of fact, we went to the Tea Party meeting on Friday night and spoke to some people that were running for office there and the crowd that was there, and they're swearing up and down that these polls that are being given to everybody publicly are lies, that they have polls to show that Matt Bevin is in a dead heat with Mitch McConnell, which we all know better than that. So, you know, it really depends on who you sit to. But the reality is Matt Bevin has run a very, very poor, poor campaign. He's definitely in over his head from a campaign perspective. So if I was Mitch McConnell, I would avoid, you know, why do you need to debate the guy? Because you really have nothing to gain. You know, there's nothing you can really say. You know, you've been in the job that long. Everybody knows who the hell you are. You know, it just doesn't make much sense to me to debate him anyway. You know,
well,
does that make sense?
Maybe not politically, but I think this is the KET debate also. It may not make much sense politically and statistically speaking, but the fact of the matter is, and I'm going to, if McConnell bucks the debate, I'm not going to take your position. I'm going to say, you know what, you work for us, and you are in a campaign, and we have every right and we have every expectation of you getting up and defending your record. You don't just duck and say to the voters of Kentucky, deal with it. I'm in the lead. I'm not in the mood to answer your questions, and I'm not in the mood to have somebody disagree with me. Just vote your damn straight ticket in November and send me back to Washington. I'm not answering your damn questions. I actually find it to be a bit offensive. It's like, dude, I don't care how far ahead you are. You've been at this 30 years. You ought to be able to handle a couple rookies in a debate. If you can't, I'm gonna, you know, then that actually is counting more against you than anything you can say in the debate, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I want to respond to that in a second, but go ahead, Dale. Well, okay, but
I agree with what Martin said.
Well, see, this is where we have it. This is where we have a basic difference of opinion. Okay, as just a regular Joe. All right, call me Joe the Plumber if you want. I don't care. I'm not involved in politics. I'm not involved in political strategy or none of that stuff. As a regular Joe, I would normally agree with both of you guys. Normally, but I've got to tell you, you're not dealing with you know, some guy that you don't know what he's all about. He's not ducking media questions. The media, you know, they're always hounding him, and he's answering their questions. They pick and choose what they want to report, okay? So, I mean, as far as getting to the people and making sure the people know who he is or what he's all about, there's 1,000 opportunities to do that without having to go on a stage for an hour to listen to Matt Bevin try to explain himself when really he's just a fly on the pile of garbage. You know what I'm saying? So from that perspective, if, you know, in a different situation, I would normally agree. But Mitch McConnell is one of the most open books there are out there. Not that he tries to be transparent, but we have all kinds of information, the voting records and everything else. The media hounds him like a dog. They report everything in the world. So it's not like a room full of 100 people are going to listen to this debate, and it's going to make some major shift in the election anyway. And the second thing is, now looking at it from a political strategist standpoint, which is what I do, you know, I do get paid for that in some cases, folks, believe it or not. That's what I do, a consultant, things like that. But when we look at this in play, I'm with Jesse Benton on this. Why give the guy any play? And I tell you why. Because Matt Bevin was given a golden goose. He was given the key to the daggone throne room the day that he announced by Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell immediately went out the day that he announced and already had a negative attack ad out there who is Matt Bevin, and negatively attacking Matt Bevin. At that point, the whole world, the whole nation, everybody was looking, and the first thing on their lips was, who is this Matt Bevin guy? And instead of coming out in a positive direction and showing the world that he was something different, he could be a contender, here's a guy who's got millions of dollars, corporate CEO mentality, everything, great businessman from all indications. All right, great family man, got 9 kids, some adopted, all of that good stuff. Instead, he comes out and decides to sling mud against mud-slinging Mitch. He screwed the pooch. He had every opportunity given him. Everybody wanted to see what he was about, and he just showed them more of the same. That's what ruined Matt Bevin as a candidate. And that's why I don't think Matt Bevin's going to win next month, and I don't think he's going to get within 10 points. I may be wrong. You know, I don't believe the 40-point spread, but I don't think he's going to get that close because he's not a good candidate, so why waste your time debating someone like him?
Well, again, it's, you know, and they could use sports analogies or business analogies or anything. If you're on your game, I mean, as a rugby player or a martial artist, I'm not going to look at some guy who I can totally pound into the turf and then say, well, you know, I'll just not show up Saturday for this rugby game because I'm just that much better than he is. No, if I'm confident in what I've got going. And as Mitch should be confident in what he's got going, he should savor. You know, let's face it, he's been in Washington 30 years. He's supposed to be this warrior, you know, fighting Barack Obama, even though Obama's not running again. But he's fighting Barack Obama. He's fighting the Democrats. So, you know what? Hey, show me what you got. I want to see your stuff, man. I want to, you know, if you're that good, it's like going to a Mike Tyson fight, you know, back in the day. You don't really think the other guy can hang with him. You're actually going to see somebody get the crap beat out of him. So it's like, Mitch, if you've got the goods, you've got the experience, you're all that as you say you are, you should relish the opportunity to get on a stage with a couple of rookies and pound them into the turf and remind us why you're Mitch. You know, but instead,
well,
you're like, you come up with some coy, well, I'm not. I'm leading in the polls. This is a waste of time. It's like, no.
Well,
savor the opportunity to kick somebody's ass.
I don't think that if it was a neck and neck race, Mitch would debate. And I tell you why, because you know, Mitch, as we all know, is an elitist. He's always been an elitist. This is nothing new for Mitch McConnell to say, I'm not going to debate you. And it's the oldest political game for a newcomer to use. I mean, people don't even pay attention to that anymore. Oh, he refuses to debate. Oh, he's no good. We don't think that anymore. We see that too much today where people refuse to debate at all levels, local or national. So, you know, this is nothing more than a newcomer ploy, which just goes to show you how green Matt Bevin is. With Mitch the elitist, who typically is not going to debate anyway, to try to make this an issue and think that it's going to have some merit with the voters just shows me that Matt Bevin is too green to even think about doing this job. And maybe I'm wrong, but like I said, from a political standpoint, a strategic standpoint, I agree with Mitch's stance on this. Now, from a personal standpoint, for somebody who's as dedicated to voting as we are, the listeners of this show are, yeah, we can say it's an insult, but who cares? The majority of voters aren't going to make a decision based on that anyway. If one person makes a decision based on that alone, they always make the decision based on that alone. So it's not about issues. You see what I'm saying? I mean, that's the way I look at it. So maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But I thought it was pretty interesting since Mayo brought that up. I want to switch gears for a minute, and I tell you why. We've got some disturbing information coming out of Nevada. And I'm going to put a link in a chat room. I warn you guys in advance that when you click on this link, there are some disturbing images there. And I do not want to let you look at that without knowing that in advance. But Cliven Bundy, as we know, was the rancher who got invaded, for lack of a better word, by the Bureau of Land Management, the Barack Obama administration. And they went in and tried to take over his ranch and claim his cattle. The disturbing part is this. We now have photos that were released on Sunday that proves even more and gives more evidence to the claim that BLM was illegally killing and burying the confiscated cattle. They had no right doing that. We had already received reports of the water supplies being crushed and all these different disturbing things that the Bureau of Land Management did. So when they tried to shut that place down for a week and they put a no-fly zone and everything else in place so they couldn't get caught, the Bundy people found at least one hole, and they're finding all kinds of them now. They're digging up one of the huge holes where the Bureau of Land Management had run these cows to death or shot and threw them in this hole to die. And there are pictures in the article I just posted in the chat room. I tell you, I am very disturbed by this, and I can't help but wonder if the American people will pick this up, regardless of the source. I actually got this from the TeaParty.org website. But regardless of where the source is, I don't even care if it's NBC or Fox. Make up your own decision. But this is a disturbing example of an out-of-control government to me. Ed?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've seen some of the pictures, and you know, animal cruelty is in any, you know, in a wasteful form like that. You know, I'm one of these people, I understand you got to slaughter animals if you want to eat meat. But to me, this goes back even again, it's to the, and gosh, you know, the word is overused, but to the sometimes terroristic or strong arm or intimidating tactics of the government. I'm looking at this thinking, why in the hell would you do that? You know, the man owes you money. You've got his cattle. They're worth money. Not at the bottom of a ditch, they're not worth money. But if this is truly is about him, the money he supposedly owes you, then for God's sake, why did you do that to the animals? Just put them on a truck and sell them, you know, try to recruit some of you. I mean, that would just be, nobody in business would do that. If you could get your hands on somebody's assets, you don't set them on fire in the parking lot just to spite the guy or intimidate the guy. No, you resell their assets. You know, I've been known to buy troubled assets from people. You get a good price, you recondition them, you resell them. You try to recoup your losses. So why in the hell they would sue, you know, thousands, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of meat. And then if they didn't feel like doing that, fine. Have them slaughtered and donate them to a homeless shelter. Do something with them besides run, you know, in the most cruel fashion, slaughter animals and toss the carcasses aside in an utterly wasteful way.
It is very disturbing. The picture speaks 1,000 words, and believe me, there's the thousands there. Go ahead, Mayo.
No, I mean, you kind of switch gears or change subject there. I agree with what, you know, Martin
well, you
has
dropped
said.
Off.
It makes sense. You had assets, and, you know, why waste the assets? Go ahead and sell them. I mean, legally, maybe they have that right. I don't know about coming on his land, et cetera. That still needs to be proven in court, and, you know, we all have our day in court. To flash back to what he was saying with the analogy, you know, it's like, you know, McConnell's the heavyweight champion of boxing. He showed up for all the press conferences with the ads and everything he's done on TV, but then fight night he's like, he ain't worth my time. As the average Joe, you know, that makes me think less of the champ. And I'm sitting here thinking, because you did mention it, when was the last time McConnell ever debated, or has he, you know?
Well, he does a debate. That's his stick. He hasn't done that in so many years, I can't even remember. But, you know, it's this whole Bundy thing is very disturbing, because to me it proves exactly what I was saying before. There's been an argument that Bundy was wrong, that the government should be there, blah, 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 blah. But it proves to me that they weren't sent there to do anything more than destroy and do serious, you know, destruction to the compound or the property, so they can go ahead and get the ENN Energy people in here. Because I tell you, I mean, the holes that they dug is disturbing. They were digging these holes right near the compound, right off of the highway. But they were digging these holes so they could bury these cows. That's what the bulldozers were for. That's what we were telling everybody before everything went crazy and they finally backed down. That's what those were for. But they didn't even dig the holes deep enough. They didn't even dig the holes deep enough. They were throwing cows in there and putting dirt over them, and the cows' legs were sticking straight up out of the dirt. It's like they were saying, screw you, we're going to do what we want to do. So this was nothing more than a planned massacre of the cattle to destroy this rancher and his way of life because Big Brother decided they wanted to. And now they're at Kit Laney's place in New Mexico, and God only knows what they're doing there because the media is not reporting this one. You know, so I'm just very concerned with this. You know, where does freedom end? I mean, that's the thing for me. I'm just so sick of this. And when you look at those pictures, now I understand, I'm going to be the first one to admit, I like my steak, and I like my steak medium rare, and I know damn good well it comes from a cow. I'm not dumb. All right? Let's just call a spade a spade. But the reality of this was just pure intentional destruction is what disturbs me. I mean, you know, when you kill an animal, you know, for food, that's one thing. That's one thing. That's survival. That's part of life. But when you do this type of a slaughter just because you want to prove a point, that is disturbing. And the fact that these so-called government workers were that sick about it and didn't have any remorse whatsoever disturbs me on a greater level. But I tell you what, as always, more disturbing is we're out of time. We are short on time, Ed, as always. Mayo, thanks so much for the call. Mr. Martin, it's time for final thoughts.
Yeah, final thoughts. We've been swatting everybody today. You know, I leave it fairly simple tonight. Usually, you know me, I tell people stay cynical. If you're having trouble staying cynical, tune in. We'll help you out with that. But, I mean, you see it everywhere from politicians not having the guts to do, you know, to even say things that are totally common sense until it is absolute, you know, and they won't say a thing until it's absolutely both chronologically and politically safe to say so, Alice in Wonderland Grimes, or whether it's your mainstream media, like the Courier Journal, that can basically sit there and say scoundrel, incompetent, basically read between the lines, say all this and then go, yeah, but as a compliant part of the machine, we endorse him. It's like, stay cynical, people. Don't, you know, I'm not saying don't necessarily, you know, say don't trust the media or don't trust your government, but question them. You know, don't trust them all 100%. Don't take everything they say at the face value. Because sometimes the government does a pretty good job at things, and sometimes the media does a pretty good job at things. But when you see things that don't make sense, like that Courier Journal endorsement, it's okay to question it. It really is. It's okay to question the politician in question. You know, it's the subject of the endorsement. And it's okay to question the Courier Journal and maybe get on their Facebook page or something or write a letter to the editor saying, basically say, what in the hell are you drinking down there?
Well, I tell you, I am in agreement with a lot of what you just said, and I tell you, it's disturbing to me because we have forgotten, as Americans, what it means to be an American. It is not only our right, for me personally, it's also my duty, my obligation, and my responsibility to question our leadership and to hold them accountable and to make them understand that our Constitution was written of the people, by the people, and for the people, period. The end. There is no debate over that. But the fact that these guys, this government, thinks that they have the right to tell us free Americans how to live. They have the right to seize anything they want to. They have the right to do what they did to the Bundys and their ranch, and that they're now doing with Kit Laney in New Mexico. That they have the right to slaughter at will just because they love to kill. That's not America. That's not the values that I was raised with. It's certainly not the America that I served, and proudly so, as a veteran. This isn't the America that it's supposed to be. I understand that everything has to grow. Everything has to change. Change is a natural part of life. But when you look at the blatant disregard for human rights, animal rights, or anything else that's been displayed in public by the Bureau of Land Management on orders from the White House itself. There's not a doubt in my mind about that. Our Department of Justice, Eric Holder, who won't do anything to hold anybody accountable. Then it goes beyond you have the right to question. It goes beyond it's your duty and obligation to hold them people accountable. That's where I'm at. That's where I've been at for some time. That's it for tonight,
quick,
folks. Yes, sir.
I just say real quick, the debate that Mayo was bringing up is actually coming on AET now. So if you want to tune in and see everybody, not Mitch McConnell, who's running on the Republican side of the Senate race, they're coming on.
Well, everybody already knows that anyway. That's it for tonight, folks. Tomorrow night, 7 o'clock, Mr. Martin will be here again as usual. And don't forget Wednesday night with Dale the Truth. Right here, same time, same channel, Sunday through Thursday, every week, folks. We'll talk to you then. Have a great night. We'll see you, Mr. Martin.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. Erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.